The following is a true story. Here at Geek Devotions, we wanted to answer a question that came up in conversation. What if true crime podcasts had been around during the time of the crucifixion? This is intended to assist us in a deeper understanding of the scriptures, and we hope that it also helps you. Now on to the episode.
Friday night, a convicted criminal of the Roman Empire was put to death. Sunday morning, his body has gone missing. This is a look into what is happening here for those who have ears to hear.
Welcome those who have ears to hear to the What's Happening Here podcast, Nazareth's favorite true crime podcast, brought to you by Peter's Earwax Removal, so effective you'll forget you had an ear.
We are your hosts this evening. I am Celeste, and with me is Dallas.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have an intriguing mystery taking place. A convicted criminal's body goes missing. Some say this body or his body was stolen by his followers. Some claim he simply got up and walked away. What is actually happening here?
Before we can answer that, let's roll this back and discover some of the facts behind this mystery. What was he actually convicted of?
Well, that's a great question. Now, according to the official sentencing report, the prosecution brings before the court, and I'm sorry, let me make sure people understand. I'm reading the actual sentencing report that was given to us by the clerk, and it says this: the prosecution brings before the court the male, Jesus the Christ, or AKA the Christ, to find judgment on crimes committed in Rome. Jesus was committed has committed the following crimes: blasphemy, gathering crowds in religious areas, disturbing the peace in a holy place, property damage, performing miracles on the Sabbath, public embarrassment of the religious leaders, and fraternizing with the unclean. Jesus also obstructed guards while performing their duties on multiple occasions. The prosecution is prepared to bring forward the testimonies of those who fell victim to these crimes and who witnessed the crimes. The above listed crimes punishable by death occurred within the boundaries of Rome and against her law abiding citizens. Now the question becomes, Celeste, should we take this further back? Like, who was this man that has done all these things?
This man has always had rumors surrounding him, starting with the fact that his mother claims that she was a virgin when she gave birth. At a young age, he showed an aptitude for scholastics, talking with the leaders of the temple far beyond his age coherency. 3 years ago, when he decided to begin a teaching ministry, many have claimed that they've witnessed miracles, and even one family claims that he raised their brother from the dead.
What? That's insane.
I don't understand.
That's crazy. All right. So, well, the trouble for his ministry, though, it began to stir even at the beginning of this teaching ministry he had. In his hometown, there were reports that he sat down to read this passage from the book of Isaiah, and his reading caused a commotion in the temple.
Now, why would a reading from the book of Isaiah cause a commotion in the temple?
The problem is the passage he read, and I happen to pull up the thing, and it says this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim the captives, that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And the problem here, Celeste, is that the reading of this, the way that he did this, because when he finished, he sat down and he said something along the lines of, like, today this has been fulfilled. Now, this passage, though, for those Jews, for these leadership guys, this is a passage about the promised Messiah, their leader that they've been waiting for all this time. And by him sitting down and saying, today this has been fulfilled, he's proclaiming to be their Messiah. And it just, I mean, it set off this commotion to the point they were ready to throw him off a mountain. Now, here's the weird part. This is really weird. He just like walked, like they had him, and he just walked through the crowd like nothing happened and walked away from them.
Now, that would not be the first time that mysterious events have come up surrounding this man. Mm. In his teaching ministry, there have been proclamations of him healing people who are sick, casting out demons, walking on water.
What?
I'm not even sure how that would be physically possible. But then also, there is one account of him teaching in someone's house on the scriptures. And this group of men came and brought their friend to him because they believed that he had been healing people. They went up to the roof, cut a hole in the roof, so property damage, and then brought him down through the roof. And supposedly, this man picked up the bed that he had been on for years and walked out when he could not walk in.
Man. Well, let's jump into some of the, into the official report from the Roman guards. We happen to have that here with us. It says a report by an officer of the Roman guard regarding the missing body of Jesus of Nazareth. All right. And it says here, facts. 2 days prior to Jesus was taken into custody by a crowd of Jewish men at the urging of the chief priests, scribes, and elders from the Sanhedrin for alleged blasphemy. Now, the blasphemy, there's a lot of things taking place. The thing you just referenced, Celeste, that was actually one of those blasphemous moments that they were talking about. See, what happened was that when they lowered that guy down, Jesus of Nazareth, he looked at the guy and he goes, now, I mean, logically he goes, oh, he's broken. He needs healing, right? But the first thing he does is he goes, your sins are forgiven. And this is monumental because according to them, nobody can forgive sins except for God. Like, that's it. And for him to say that the man's sins were forgiven, he's saying that he's on par with God. And then to add almost insult to injury, because they call that out about Jesus. Jesus looks at him and goes, okay, well, what's easier? To say a man's been forgiven or that he's been healed? And he tells the man to stand up and he heals. The man's legs are healed and he stands up. Now, the reason why this is so crazy for those guys in the room right there is that if Jesus had committed blasphemy saying that, of saying, you know, you're healed or not healed, that your sins are forgiven, then God wouldn't allow him to also be a conduit to heal the man. So either Jesus was telling the truth or something else is happening here. And I mean, that's some crazy things. And then you jump forward. There was a crowd that surrounded the leaders and they said, look, just give to us straight. Are you really the Messiah or not? And he said something very fascinating. He says, the Father and I are one. Suggesting that him and God are, that they're synonymous. They're together. And this is the blasphemy that he was put up, the charges were brought out against him for.
Let's get back into the document. Mm-hmm. After interrogating him all night, they brought Jesus to Pilate with an accusation of being a king. Hmm. After refusing to answer Pilate, he was sent to Herod. And after much back and forth, Pilate had Jesus whipped and put a crown of thorns on his head, hoping that this would satisfy the priests and elders. But the Jews riled everyone up, chanting, crucify him, referring to Jesus.
Oh, man.
Pilate found no fault in Jesus and has admitted this. He tried to have him released and offered their worst criminal, Barabbas.
I've heard about
him. To take the place of Jesus. But they almost started a riot and demanded that Jesus be crucified and Barabbas set free. There was so much tension in the city lately, and Pilate had been trying to keep the peace as much as possible. So he ordered Jesus be crucified because of their demand.
That is absolutely insane. Barabbas was like a known criminal that was causing all kinds of issues in the city, and they take him over Jesus?
They I just don't understand how this could happen. But you felt the tension.
Mm-hmm.
You felt the tension in the city.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it was absolutely insane during that time frame. Well, let's continue on. Pilate had soldiers take Jesus to Golgotha, where he was crucified along with two other men. Now, Jesus died before the other two, and once they were removed from the crosses, Joseph of Arimathea came to Pilate, asking if he could take the body. Pilate granted permission, and Joseph and Nicodemus, who is, by the way, another well-known scholar in the area, he's another, and apparently, I guess he was a secret follower of Jesus, because it says that him and Joseph, they prepared the body and laid it in Joseph's personal tomb. Like, this is huge. This is a massive thing. Now, I have heard rumors that some people have said that this is kind of in reference to some old, to what the Tanakh was saying about some prophecies about the Messiah himself too. Now, the report continues to say that the chief priest came to Pilate and insisted that he give them guards to watch the tomb for the next 72 hours, claiming Jesus' disciples might try to steal the body and claim he resurrected, since Jesus made the claim while he was alive. And it says, I set my best and most reliable guards on his duty. So, I mean, this makes sense. I mean, if they really thought that they were going to come, you would put your most reliable guards on duty to guard this tomb. And from my understanding, like, this was like, they put like a special stamp on it, a seal that, I mean, told everybody, this is Roman control. You can't touch this. Nobody can mess with this under penalty of death. This is a major thing taking place here.
So crazy. Well, let's get into a witness statement. This is the witness statement that we have on hand. The first day and yesterday evening, everything was quiet. Nothing remarkable happened. But today, the chief priests came to me and claimed that the disciples have indeed stolen the body from the tomb.
Now, hold on 1 second right there, because that's an interesting thing that the chief, that this happened, because there are reports going out that the chief priests, they actually, let's just say that some of these guards suddenly had some extra change to buy things that they needed to.
That would not be the first time we've heard allegations of such from the chief priests.
They're suggesting the chief priest bribed them, saying that, you know, don't say, to tell the people that it was the guard, that was the disciples. But that doesn't make sense. Like, these are trained guards. And from my understanding, most of Jesus' disciples, like especially the main 12, they're like fishermen and just like normal people. I think one of them was a tax collector. You know, he wasn't good for anything. And then another one was dead. Another one of his disciples had killed himself already.
That's right. We had heard that report about the man.
So we're down to 11 disciples. And you tell me these 11 guys, these fishermen, took on a company of highly trained Roman guards. I can't believe that.
Well, it gets better, because the rest of the report from this, I'm assuming this is a guard. It says, the guards reported that there was another earthquake, and they saw what appeared to be lightning, and someone rolled the stone away and sat on it. And they ran to tell the chief priests. Now, who has the strength to roll away a tomb and then just the stone and just hop up there and sit on it like it's a chair?
Right. Like, it makes no sense for that to take place. And I mean, that's mind boggling. You have to be, again, these are not small stones. These are huge, massive, like it's almost a boulder.
Huge.
To push that aside? Man, this is crazy. Here's some eyewitness accounts. So this is a really interesting thing. The women are saying the stone was already rolled away when they came to the tomb this morning, and Jesus was alive, giving instructions to tell his disciples. Now, this again, we're getting to the claims of things. This again, the chief priests and some are saying that the disciples saw the body, but their eyewitnesses are saying that that's not what happened. That they showed up, the stone was already gone, and Jesus was alive. Like, we knew he was dead. Like when he was on the cross, they stabbed in the side, and blood and water came out of him. He was a dead man, but they're saying that he was up and walking, and he told these ladies to go find the rest of the disciples and tell them he was alive. I mean, this is absolutely
so crazy.
Another one says this: the disciples also went to the tomb to find it, was empty, with the grave clothes saying, lying on the floor and the face cloth covering neatly folded to the side. The disciples claim they saw Jesus alive in Galilee afterwards.
This is so crazy. This may be the most bizarre thing we have ever covered on this podcast.
I mean, we've covered a lot of things in this podcast over the years. Some absolutely insane things. But this, a man was dead. He's alive now. And the political theater is taking place right now. Rome is, like, the Roman soldiers are trying to figure out what's going on. Pilate's trying to keep this on hush. I mean, and then you got the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees. They're freaking out completely.
Well, the final summation of the report is this. The tomb is empty, and we can't locate the body of Jesus anywhere. We are continuing this investigation and talking to all witnesses until we find the truth of what happened.
Man.
End of report. They don't know what happened.
They don't. They're completely confused by the whole situation. Now, the claims about the disciples, like, this is where it gets really kind of weird, because there's reports of Jesus being amongst, like, crowds of people. Like, people are saying that, for, like, everywhere saying they've seen Jesus. There was a huge crowd that saw him, and then there was like 200 some odd people, and they saw him ascend into heaven.
How does that many people tell the same story?
I don't know.
You and I both know that you rarely get the same story from everyone, especially if it's a lie.
Right. And then, like, in the wake of this, there's been a lot of, like, the Romans going after him and the Jewish authorities going after all these disciples and everything like that. If they were lying about this body, lying and saying that they, about Jesus resurrecting, they would have given up by now. Like, one of their guys, I just saw a report the other day, there was a disciple named Stephen, and they stoned him. Like, he was out there, he was preaching about this Jesus resurrected and everything else, and they killed him. And yet people are still, like, the leaders of this whole movement, they're still going, we're not stopping. They're still sharing the story about this Jesus. It doesn't make sense. Like,
I'm not one to be a conspiracy theorist, but this feels like the Roman government might be trying to cover this up.
The Roman government, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the complete Sanhedrin, they're all doing this.
Like, what? This is how? What actually happened here?
I don't know. Again, these are just the reports that people are saying. Now, as disciples, this is interesting, because they're going around and they're not even calling for violence, not fighting against people. They're just going around telling people that this Jesus, again, their claim is that he was God, or that he is God. Cause I mean, he died, but he resurrected. But the whole reasoning that this happened, like, they're saying that he knew that this was going to happen. They're like, there are reports of him teaching about the fact that he was going to die and that he was going to be resurrected again, because he's to fulfill the mission of the Messiah. Now, you and I both know, though, like, the Jewish people, like, their idea of the Messiah was supposed to be like this conquering warlord that was going to, like, overthrow the government or anything like that. But what the disciples are saying, no, that was deeper than that. That it was a matter of that it was to overcome the sinful state that we all know the world is in, that is counter to Yahweh, and make a way for people to have a relationship with God beyond the sacrifices of bulls and goats anymore.
That's, the world is changing, and I don't know how, if it's going to be for the better or for the worse, but it's definitely changing.
Now, as disciples, they're continuing to spread around. I heard that some of them, because of the tension in Jerusalem, they've spread out, and now they're talking to Gentiles. They're not even talking to Jewish people. Like, they're spreading this message across, and I'm hearing stories of communities popping up everywhere of these, what was it that they had, that they called them? The, Christ, what did they call them?
The little Christ.
Yeah. Christians. That's what they were calling them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. These communities of Christians were popping up everywhere. And some, they're like, in some of the pockets, they're like, the communities are sharing amongst it. They're helping each other out. And like taking care of small issues within their community. And, like, for all accounts, this looks like a nice, healthy community of individuals. But again, it boils down to, what happened to the body? Did he resurrect or was it stolen? And if it was stolen, how are these disciples able, how are they willing to keep going even though they're being persecuted so badly? Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for listening to the What Is Happening Here podcast. Again, Nazareth's favorite true crime podcast. We want to hear from you guys. What are your thoughts on how, what are you guys seeing within this whole report? That being said, thank you for listening to What's Happening Here podcast. Remember to have ears to hear. We will catch you next time.
Join us next week as we look into a man named Simon who calls himself Peter. Is he a prophet or just an escape artist?